Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Of mortal man in the history of redemption, Jacob is second only to Abraham in significance. As Abraham is called the father of the faithful, it is Jacob's changed name, Israel, that is employed to typify them. In both covenants, they are known as Israelites. All Israel shall be saved. Not one lost. And God has not cast away any of his people which he foreknew. So why is this particular act that we just read, out of all his history, chosen to illustrate his faith? By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. His life speaks to us among that great cloud of witnesses, but his is not one for us to emulate. He speaks to us, but you don't want to act like he acted. He's no example for us to follow. Jacob's life, with which most of his history is concerned, is more characterized by unbelief and fleshy scheming rather than faith and trust, struggle rather than rest, complaint rather than praise, and discontent rather than gratitude. His birth is described in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 21. As Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Already struggling in the womb. Supplanter he was after what Esau had. He was a stay-at-home mama's boy who clung to the security of his mother. Esau, in contrast, was what we would call a he-man. A masculine outdoorsman, a hunter with hair on his chest. Jacob's plotting and scheming and taking of Esau's birthright. He had this foremost in his mind all his life, trying to get what was lawfully another's. He had the mindset of a thief. Yeah. In Genesis 25:34, Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and he drank up and rose up and went on his way. And Esau despised his birthright. Now, what had happened? Jacob was cooking pottage. I don't know whatever that was, but it's something good. Esau came in out of the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, red beans, I think it was, red beans and rice. You know what that is." For I am faith. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm just about to die, and what profit shall this birthright do me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and swear to him. And he sold him his birthright for just a pot of beans. Jacob gave Esau the bread and the pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. So Jacob was always plotting to get what Esau had. He cleverly took advantage of his brother's fleshly lust, the same principle of the world in both legitimate commerce and all scams are based. He was a con artist, employing the irrational desire of fleshly lust to stampede men into throwing away their treasure. His successful deception and theft of his brother's blessing and his subsequent running for life. Then we see his plotting to get his uncle's, his Laban's, cattle. In Genesis 30 and 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath also therefore given me a son. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore call his name Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left barren. Then here was in verse 36, I believe, in chapter 30. And he set 3 days journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. He's working for his uncle now. And Jacob took rods of green poplar from the hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear to be which was in the rods, and set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks and the gutters in the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they drank. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not with Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid rods before the eyes of the cattle of the gutters, that he might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, and the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. Now he has to return to Canaan and his fear of Esau. In his scheming to cool his brother's anger, his few acts of faith to those for which he was crowded to God. At Bethel, even when he was a carnal, child-class, conditional deal-making with God. At Peniel, in Genesis 32 and 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he says, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name, and wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face. Then he goes back to Bethel in Genesis 35 and the first three verses. And God said to Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel and dwell there, and make thee an altar unto God, and appeared unto thee when thou fledst from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who will answer me in that day of my distress. And he was with me in the way which I went. He is continually under the chastening rod of God, a comfort in a mature saint, but a fearful event to the immature and the carnal. There's the wrath of Esau in Genesis 27 and 41 and 42. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father is at hand, and then I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. And at these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she went and sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and unto him said, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Therefore now, my son, obey thy voice, and arise, and flee thou to Laban, thy brother in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turns away. Then there's a deception of Laban in Genesis 29. You notice where you got a crooked family here. And so he goes to work for Laban for his daughters. And he's laboring for Rebekah, for Rachel. And he wants to marry her. And Laban tells her in verse 26, It must not be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. He's going to get 7 more years of work out of him for Rachel. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave Rachel, his daughter, to Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served him yet 7 other years. Then there's his disabling at Peniel. In Genesis 32, verse 25. He's on his way back now. Well, we'll begin verse 21. So went the present over before. No, it's saying they came and told him that Esau is coming with a bunch of men. And he was afraid that he was going to get killed. Let me see if I find my place here. So he sent them up in stages. He commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau, thy my brother, meeteth thee, I ask thee, Who art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? And thou shalt say, they are be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third, and that followed in droves, saying, of this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And you say, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with a present that goes before me. And afterward I'll see his face, peradventure he will accept of me. And so they went the present over before him, and he himself lodged that night in the company, and rose up that night, and took the two wives, and his two women servants, and 11 sons, and passed over the ford of Jabba. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone there, and wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince that has power with God and with men, and also prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask my name? And he blessed them there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, there he had seen God face to face. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew at which he shrank, which is the hollow of his thigh, even unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew, and it shrank there. So he goes back to Bethel. He's continually under the chastening rod of God, which is a comfort to the mature saint, but a fearful event to the immature and the carnal. The wrath of Esau, the deception of Laban, and the closing of Rachel's womb, the woman he most loved, the disabling of Peniel, and the loss of Rachel, who died just before he got to Bethlehem. He was unable to take his first love, the light of his eyes, the joy of his life, his dearest companion with him, and had to go to the place of bread alone. Then there was the matter of Shechem and Dinah, and jeopardy he was put in among the inhabitants of Canaan, Genesis 34 and 25, Genesis 34. And 25. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each his man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and killed all the males. So that didn't put him in very good standing with the people. There was a loss of Joseph, and later Simeon, and later Benjamin. When he was dying, what a marvelously certain and comforting phrase this is. The point is not so much how we live as it is how we die. Many make a fire show all their lives, yet somewhere along the way they abandon the faith, give up the pretense, and show what they really are. Yes. They die in unbelief, not faith. The just shall live by faith, but they who truly live by faith die in faith. All of us, the best of us, have some belief, unbelief in our lives. But we cannot die in that unbelief. We must die in faith. Notice, his prophetic act here is deliberate and sure. Genesis 48 and verse 13. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, and Israel toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger. And his left hand was put upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, and the God who fed me all my life unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named upon them, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow unto a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father had his right hand upon the hand of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he shall also be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of people. Then there's the loss of Rachel in Genesis 35 and 19. And Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And the matter of Shechem and Dinah, and the jeopardy was put in among the inhabitants of Canaan, and the loss of Joseph, and later on Simeon, and later Benjamin. When he was dying, what a marvelous, certain, and comforting phrase this is. The point is not so much how we live, but how we die. Many make a fair show all their lives, yet somewhere along the way they abandon the faith and give up the pretense and show what they really are. They die in unbelief, not faith. All of us, the best of us, have some unbelief in our lives. But we cannot die in that unbelief. We must die in faith. Notice, his prophetic act here is free, deliberate, and sure. Genesis 48 and 13, verse 13. Genesis 48, verse 13. Reading verse 12. Joseph brought them out from between his knees and bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow unto multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head and to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. But his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people and shall be great, and truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. His prophetic act is here, deliberate and sure. It flows from a man who finally knows to listen to God. One who no longer doubts, but knows the sweetness of full, unquestioned trust and obedience, irrespective of how displeasing this may be to his beloved son, He calmly and resolutely speaks God's word. The principle set forth by this, by Jacob's blessing his son. Here they are. God consistently rejects rejection of the firstborn and the anointing of the second. The first is Adam. The second is Christ. The first is Cain. The second is Abel. The first is Ishmael. The second is Isaac. The first is Esau. The second is Jacob. The first is Jacob. The second is Israel. The first is Manasseh. The second is Ephraim. The first is Reuben. The second is Judah. The first is Saul. The second is David. The first is flesh. The second is spirit. Notice also the duodecima of the scripture. That is the 12. 2 plus 10 equals 12. Joseph's double portion leaves yet 12 tribes after Levi is separated for the priesthood. Ephraim came to be synonymous with the non-spiritual mass of Israel, the unbelieving multitude which we still have today. Judah became the royal tribe from whom Christ, according to the flesh, descended, represents the faithful remnant of the King who is Christ, the Jews. Romans 2:29. We are the true Jews. Jacob worshipped, leaning on his staff. Instead of struggling, he's leaning and resting. Instead of scheming, he is proclaiming and preaching. Instead of whining, he is praising and exalting in God. Well, what may we learn now from Jacob's successful probation? The spiritual struggle of the flesh versus spirit, Galatians 5:17, begins early in our lives at the very conception of life. We emerge from the womb with a battle already raging. Did you ever see a baby that wasn't born that wasn't mad about it? Sweet, he's red, his fists are iron, he's screaming at the top of his voice. He's raising hell as soon as he gets here. The first cry of his infant is rage over being disturbed from his comfortable, safe heaven, being compelled to breathe on his own. If we are saved from eternal ruin, we've got to be born again. The divinely secured outcome of his conflict between flesh and the spirit is promised. The flesh shall be subjugated to serve the spirit, Romans 8:10-11. We do not war with the flesh as if flesh were able to conquer flesh. We would only make bigger and more proud flesh. We must mortify it by the Spirit and cause it to serve Christ. Many of God's children are weak in faith all their lives, evidence very little growth, very little fruit. And they must be crowded to acts of faith. Many times God puts us in a place that we don't want to be. We're uncomfortable and we have nothing to do except cry out to God. He put us in that fix. Such divinely compelled acts, however, is faith nonetheless. We may not discount them, for all faith is God's gift. We have warrant to believe these weak and struggling little ones to be Christian because they do not turn back. They doggedly hold on to their profession. God deals with them as children. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knows our frame and remembers that we are just dust. He protects, He comforts, He delivers and blesses. He chastens and corrects in His love. We may not do it soon enough to suit us, but He does not undertake anything that He does not finish. He crowds them to faith. We who are ashamed of our spiritual performance may hope in the God whose salvation is by grace through faith, not works. We too may have hope of final victory. God will bring all His elect to Him perfectly. Romans 8:29, conformed to His images. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, conformed to His image. Our Father in heaven, we are unspeakably grateful to You to be counted worthy to be gathered together by Your Spirit, by whatever means that each one of us is here today, from the east and west and north and south, and from all parts of the country, who using Your providence brought someone across our path with the gospel and opened our ears and our understanding and put us in the fix we had to trust in You. We are unspeakably grateful. Speak to us now. Continue to speak to us. Chasten us for our sins. Correct us, O Lord, in Your love. For Thine is all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.